Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just Capital is a nonprofit that tracks which companies are a force for good. Companies like Bank of America, which just earned the Just Capital seal. Bank of America is ranked number one for ongoing commitment to their workers with initiatives like Sharing Success, which awarded 97% of their teammates additional compensation, nearly all in stock. This is the program's seventh consecutive year, awarding more than $4.8 billion in total. Visit JustCapital.com to learn how a just business is a better business.
Furnished by Just Capital.
He just formed a fucking wall.
O'Neal deep in the post, lots of contact there. Oh, what a block by Wallace. What a jump ball.
He's down four, 12-8, 7-38 to play the first half. Burst from Rodney, stuck into the rim. Tapped up, baby, and a foul.
Reggie inside for Andre. Oh. And a dynamite dunk.
Pistons fans, welcome to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast. Brendan Johnson, Aaron Johnson, Ryan Pay, all here with you. Your Detroit Pistons in the playoffs, the number 8 seed in the Eastern Conference. They'll get set to take on the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. But, you know, as the regular season comes to a close, I just want to thank Ryan Pay for making the NBA regular season bearable for me to watch. Thank you, Ryan.
Brendan, you are most welcome, and I want to reciprocate. I want to say thank you, Brendan, for making this season enjoyable, not only watching, but on Twitter, and allowing me to have some fun with this season, being part of my first season with the Palace of Pistons podcast and Pistons Twitter. So thank you, Brendan.
I'm glad you and I could enjoy each other's company throughout the Pistons season. I mean, you just make it bearable for me to... Oh, hey, Aaron, how are you,
guess,
dude?
I guess we What's can also up, thank Aaron, maybe. I mean, why not?
Hey, now,
let's do it.
Hey, hold on, screw it. Yeah, let's do it. Let me throw out an additional thank you to Aaron. A. Johnson NBA. He and his Twitter content keeps my blood flowing. Sometimes it's the positive juices going. Other times the blood is boiling. So A. Johnson NBA, yeah, I'll give you some props. Screw it. Let's do it.
You know, guys, I mean, it's okay to be salty. I mean, I did tag you guys in a follow-up tweet.
Oh, we're just a follow-up,
the follow-up tweet. Guys. Thanks.
You know, I have to give some respect to the OGs that have been with the Pistons on Twitter through the last 2-3 seasons with me. And then I made a separate tweet thanking some of the new people that joined my timeline this year. I'm all about giving love to everyone on Twitter.
Ryan, how you doing?
I'm great, Brendan. Because we've got a great show coming up.
Huge!
But Aaron, no one here is disrespecting the OGs. Nobody here.
I ran out of characters in the tweet.
Okay.
You get 240. He listed like 6 people.
Right.
That takes up like 100 characters,
hey,
bro.
We can go look at the tweet right now. Let's go see how many characters.
You know what? Nonsense.
Nobody wants to look at your tweet. They want to hear about the business. And the business is we have a huge podcast for you today.
Massive.
Coming up later in the show, Aaron, how about you tell us who you were able to catch up with from Milwaukee?
Well, I talked to Ty Windish, host of the Iro Step podcast, Milwaukee Bucks guru. So I had a good chat with him. He broke down the side of the series from the Milwaukee Bucks perspective. But I had a great conversation with him. And all three of us had an opportunity to catch up with another person of our own.
Yeah, way to steal my teaser. Like, this is poor radio. But we'll go with it. We'll make it work. Screw it anyways, okay? But no, we had an awesome conversation. Glenn Robinson III joined the podcast. We had the opportunity to catch up with him. He breaks down the playoff series from the Pistons' perspective. So let's send it to that audio with Glenn. So we're back here on the podcast, joined by Glenn Robinson III, and Well, Glenn, first of all, just congratulations. Obviously, you guys able to make the playoffs. You go through kind of a crazy week with Blake getting hurt, a couple of must-win games, but a huge week for you. You have a great game versus the Knicks as you guys clinch that playoff spot. So congratulations, and just talk about your feeling and that feel in the locker room of getting that job done and clinching the playoffs.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I've been to playoffs a couple times, you know, and, you know, every time that you get the clinch, every time that you're in the playoffs, and around this time of year, you just really get excited, you know, and a lot of guys don't get to see that moment. You know, I was also a part of my rookie year where I wasn't in the playoffs, you know, and I got to go home at this time, and I was planning a vacation around this time. So, when you make it, you know, it's always a great feeling that, you know, you're one of, 16 teams to keep going. In this, you know, you have a chance to keep fighting every day, you know, and especially with March Madness being around too, you know, it's always good energy around this time of the year.
Yeah, and you guys had a bit of a rough stretch in the months of December and January. You went a combined 11-21, but since you've had one of the best offenses in the league, and quite frankly, have turned your season around. What were the changes that the team went through to make this turnaround possible and get to this spot where you're at now, ready for the playoffs?
Yeah, I think one of the goals of ours was, you know, just come out and compete every night and have that energy and have everybody bring what they bring to the team and everybody do their role. You know, and I thought that we started to figure that out. You know, the bench came in and had energy and playing free, you know, shooting our shots, not really worried about missing the makes, you know, and we struggled a little bit down the end, but we ended up getting it done 2 games in a row, which is what we needed, you know. So I think that for us, one of the biggest things was we broke it down in the last 15 games, we broke it down into 5-game series, and we wanted to win each 5 games, you know, and Zaza actually said to the team and brought that. And we just took it, you know, one game at a time. But it was really a 5-game series for us, the last 15 games. We just did all we could do.
No, yeah, absolutely. So let's get to it. Pistons-Bucks, first-round matchup, first game, 7 p.m. Sunday. The Pistons are tasked with probably one of the most difficult tasks in the NBA, and that's figuring out how to slow down and stop Giannis Antetokounmpo. And as one of the more athletic guys on the court and on the team for the Pistons, you're going to be part of that rotation, it seems like. So what do you think you need to do to stop him, to slow him down, to give the Pistons the best chance to win a game and win the series?
Yeah, you know, I think that that's something that we've definitely been watching some film over. I've been taking a chance to watch some of Giannis' film and just go over his game. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, we got to show him length. We got to kind of show him the wall, you know. Every time that he gets the ball, we all got to load up to him. You know, it just won't be the guy that's guarding him. It won't be D.E. or Don or whoever else is guarding him. But we gotta be a little bit as a team, you know. And I think that we've been doing that throughout the year. And, you know, I think that we do going up a game plan. I think that, you know, I think that we're all locked in. I think that we're all loaded to the ball with him.
So, you know, Glenn, your minutes have been sporadic throughout the year, and you've been in some of the biggest moments. You think of, obviously, the Knicks game the other night. There was the game versus Toronto where you were able to come in some spot minutes and make a huge impact in a big home win, amongst several others. So you've been able to get in and perform in some big moments. But just talk about, you know, your journey throughout the season, your first year here with the Pistons, and then maintaining that confidence and that readiness of just when you're called, being able to go out there and deliver as needed for the team.
Yeah, you know, I think this being year 5 of mine, you know, I've kind of learned, you know, how to bring some energy, how to bring both ends of the court. When I come to the game, is to really bring that energy, you know, bring that into the game, but also that hard-nosed playing, you know, doing little things. So I think that, you know, that second unit has really brought that throughout the season. And, you know, you've always just got to be ready when your name is called. You know, things might not go your way, and it always comes back around being in this league. You know, you always got to stay ready because you never know if anything might happen. You know, we didn't know Blake's injury was going to occur, but, you know, I've been working all season.
with you guys now in the playoffs, these last few weeks of the regular season have been, well, big for you guys to get wins. And it seems like when you're home, you guys have a better record. And in these last few weeks especially, the fans have been coming out to LCA to watch you guys perform. How big of an impact does that change in atmosphere when there's more fans in the building? How big of an impact does that have on you guys?
I think that our biggest, our big games in the season, there was always a huge crowd. And throughout those big games, I thought we played really well. The energy in the building was, exciting. Everybody was alert, and those are always fun times to play in. And I think, credit to this team. We've done something with, getting the playoffs. I know we haven't done in a couple of years here with the Pistons. And, I think that this team deserves a great crowd to come put on a show because, we're an excited team. And, I think a lot of fans in the city are pretty happy for us.
No, we couldn't agree more, Glenn. LCA needs to be rocking for Game 3 when you guys come back on that Saturday. The fans have to come out. This team deserves it. Absolutely. So another thing, with Blake Griffin's injury status kind of up in the air, maybe you guys know more about it than obviously we would, but with it seemingly up in the air, what does the rest of the team have to do to fill in for that production he brings, that leadership he brings on a night-in, night-out basis?
I think our biggest goal would be to play together. We all got to be attached. We got to play as one. A great player in Blake. Andre is always doing his job of stepping up, but the rest of us, Reggie does it. The rest of us, we have to come in and be attached. We got to come in and play together.
You talked about this as your fifth season in the league. You've experienced some playoff seasons before. What do you learn after that first time or two through the playoffs that maybe you can help some of the guys in the locker room that have only been in the playoffs once or have yet to experience a playoff series like Luke and Bruce? What are you providing as, I guess, somebody that's been there before? What are you able to do to help those guys, in a moment where we got to be ready to go starting this weekend?
I think the biggest thing for me is that a moment to enjoy your game. I take a moment to relax and lay up lines, take a look around and see all the fans, see the excitement of playoffs in the air. Like I said, a lot of guys don't experience the playoffs, sometimes throughout their whole career. So to be in that moment, we got to take a look back and have fun and remember that, it's a game that's been a dream of ours when we were young. So that's something that I do. And that's some of the advice I hope you get to the, the rookies and, like Bruce, to calm them down, Kyrie, just to take a moment to realize that we've accomplished something pretty big to help calm us down, and just play fun, play with energy, play the same way that we've been playing throughout the season.
You mentioned Zaza Pachulia a couple times. You've mentioned, working out with Jose Calderon when you weren't necessarily in the rotation all that much. And those are two veterans that have spent double-digit years throughout the league. They've been with different teams. Zaza has an NBA ring. Even though maybe a guy like Jose Calderon doesn't play too much when the teams are healthy with Reggie Jackson and Ish Smith, and Zaza's minutes are somewhat limited, how important is it to have those kind of veterans that have that experience and bring that leadership to a team that is somewhat on the younger side?
I think people don't realize how important those guys are for our team. Especially for me, when I was out here rotation, Jose Calderon, he's been an extreme vet. He's been a real professional. He would have time every day. He comes in and he lifts and he gets his workout in first before we get there. And then after that, he plans out what time we're gonna play. So what time the guys who are not in rotation are gonna play 3-on-3, 4-on-4. So he's really kept my mind active, kept me going, and thinking basketball, think through the game, think of, the plays that the team is running, because when my opportunity comes, I got to be ready. So those guys, it's crazy how much that they really know about the game and know about a team, and you really get the chance to see how they've been in it so long and what they really bring to the team.
Well, Glenn, this is obviously Coach Casey's first year here in Detroit with several new pieces to the front office, a handful of new pieces to the roster this year. Just talk about what it's kind of been like being part of that first season for Coach Casey and part of that transition here into Detroit.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely been something special. It's been something that we've all come into work every day and enjoy each other. We've all come into work every day, prepared and ready to go. You know, everybody has great respect for each other around, and we also know, how good of a team we are and how we can help change this, organization and continue on the rise. Because I think we got some great character guys, and Coach Casey, that's what he's trying to preach and bring to this team. And like I said, we've got something special and makes the playoffs again. So, it just says a lot about him. It says a lot about our coaching staff and organization.
Speaking of Coach Casey, and we talked about trying to defend Giannis a little bit earlier, but the Bucks are a team that's loaded with talent. You look at Chris Middleton, an all-star level player, Eric Bledsoe, another all-star level player, Brook Lopez is a guy that has had a very good career in the NBA, and they're a much deeper team than they were in seasons past. What has he kind of honed in on you guys needing to do defensively to try to stop them?
I think one of his biggest things is the defense. Always our energy and always how we approach the game and our focus, where our focus level is at. Like I said, it won't, it can't just be a one-person job on him. And, I think that we all might be focused, and that's something that he's trying to preach, throughout the whole season.
You know, one more, I guess, question here for me, and this is, I guess, slightly in a different direction, but obviously, you played college basketball not far up the road at Michigan, but here in the state. And, just kind of talk about what it's like. I think a lot of people, have a really good perception of Coach Beilein and, talk about how his, that program at Michigan. And you were part of really the resurgence of Michigan basketball, right in that mix of it with the NCAA tournament runs, the Big Ten runs. Talk about what it was like to play for Coach Beilein, to play in that program, and how his program has helped you translate your game to then the NBA level.
Yeah, I think that it was definitely a great time going into Michigan. We made the national championship. Some of the biggest games of my life, and I think that one of the biggest things in Michigan basketball is the way that they teach how to play the game. And Coach Beilein, he does everything from how to cut, how to, dribble and pass, and all the little details that you need to know to play the game. He does it to a whole other extreme. I think that it's really helped me translate my game into the NBA because now the NBA is fast playing game, thinking game. Can you cut? Can you make different threes? So I think that, and especially helps me playing with a guy like Zaza. I know when I'm outside the court, that's how he plays. So I know I can do some back cutting, some different off the ball just with him. So I think that it really helps me translate my game to the NBA a lot because they get such a good focus on all the little fundamentals and details.
All right, well, Glenn, we want to thank you so much for joining us here today, and good luck in the playoffs.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Dude, Glenn is awesome. That what a great interview and an opportunity to catch up with Glenn Robinson III as he breaks down that Pistons playoff series. But, first of all, just want to say we appreciate Glenn coming on. And that was insightful. I thought he said a lot of really good things there, kind of looking at the end-of-season approach into the playoffs and, what he can provide as a veteran, all these different things. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, it was cool to hear some of the interesting things that you don't really think about when you think about the Pistons season in general. I really liked hearing about how he was working out with Jose Calderon when he was out of the rotation, and how Zaza Pachulia had an impact on the team when he said that they broke down the last 15 games of the season in a 3-5 game series, and that was Zaza's idea. I thought that was all really interesting stuff, and good to see Glenn playing well to end the season, so that hopefully he's a part of that playoff rotation. I mean, I would assume he is, considering the Pistons need different kind of players to throw at Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I think Glenn kind of fits the mold of one guy that they're going to need to try to throw at him.
Now, seriously, what a great time to be part of the Palace of Pistons podcast and to be a listener of the podcast. I think we're a very pro Glenn Robinson III team here.
Absolutely.
And to be able to interview him and get his insights and get his thoughts on the team and just talk through everything and really break things down, it was fantastic. What a great get for us to be able to interview him. He was awesome. Thank you so much, Glenn.
Yeah, that was really good. And we'll break it down more. I think we kind of want to talk about how he talked about splitting it up into five-game series down the stretch. Aaron, you talked about his workouts with Jose Calderon. We'll get into that, but before we continue forward with the Pistons stuff, we want to – I'm going to toss this to Aaron. He's going to hit it out of the park for the transition here of the pod.
Yeah, we're going to send it over to my interview with Ty Windish. Again, was able to catch up with him to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks side and perspective of this upcoming first-round matchup between the Pistons and the Bucks. All right, and I'm joined now by Ty Windish, host of the Gyro Step podcast and Wisconsin Herd reporter. That's the G League team for the Milwaukee Bucks. He's a Bucks guru, has his own podcast. But Ty, first off, thanks for coming on in short notice to talk about this matchup between the Bucks and the Pistons.
Absolutely. I've been looking forward to it. I've been hoping to connect for a while, so I'm excited to talk some Bucks-Pistons here in advance of the first round.
Okay, so let's talk about Milwaukee's season as a whole. You know, watching the team all season, they go 60-22, best record in the Eastern Conference, first seed in the East. Talk about the season that they've had under a new coach in Mike Budenholzer and how that's all come together.
I mean, they've exceeded everyone's, even the real optimist expectations. I mean, there are a couple of people on fringe aspects of Bucks Twitter who probably will tell you this is what they expected, but most of the watchers and the writers and podcasters and everything else, it sort of felt like we were looking for 50-ish wins, you know, get to the second round, maybe get to the conference finals. And you know, Giannis, the Bucks under Coach Budenholzer, just have blown the doors off. Best record in the league, high expectations going into the playoffs, potential, maybe probable, I don't know if we should go that far, MVP and Giannis. We don't know for an absurdly long amount of time for no real reason. But it's been an exciting ride, you know. It's really been proving that the hype around Giannis that's been building for years is real. It's not an overblowing, you know. Even without your quote-unquote second star, although Chris Middleton did make the All-Star team this year, the Bucks have still put up 60 wins, best record in the league, and you know, obviously Giannis is the real focal point of that.
Yeah, and I think this roster, compared to last year's team, much deeper. I mean, you have the resurgence of Eric Bledsoe after a playoffs where definitely we saw him kind of struggle in the spotlight on him. Kind of saw him struggle, but you add George Hill, you add Brook Lopez, you add Nikola Mirotic. This is a much deeper team, and how important has the depth been for them?
It's been crucial, without a doubt, mostly because the Bucks have been bit by the injury bug lately. And I mean, you look at, thankfully, they were able to obtain Mirotic without giving up any rotation pieces. I mean, Thon Maker, a familiar face, ends up over there in Detroit, and a bunch of second-round picks go to New Orleans, and the Bucks obtained Mirotic, which, you know, losing him hurts, but it helps a little bit that, you know, no one who played big minutes before that trade gets injured. Malcolm Brogdon out until probably around the second round. That's also tough. Brogdon was great. He put up a 50-40-90 season. But thankfully, because of that depth, you mentioned guys like Sterling Brown, who's gotten a lot more opportunity to play this year, his second season. He's filled in quite nicely for Brogdon, all things considered, and you know, DJ Wilson has stepped up, things like that. And really, you look at the difference between depth and a shallow team matters more in the regular season than it does in the playoffs, I would say. But it's certainly helped the Bucks to have a lot of guys who can come in and play minutes without just completely making the team, I guess, bad is the simple way to put it.
And I'm glad you brought up Thon Maker because I wanted to get your perspective on him. So far in Detroit, I think the general viewpoint is of him is that he's a bit inconsistent, but you see the talent there with him. He can shoot the long ball. He blocks shots at the rim. He's quick. But then you see the lack of hands. Maybe basketball IQ would be a good word to put it with the way that he sometimes gets lost within plays. What are your thoughts on Maker? Does he have a bright outlook for the future in his league, only being 21 years old, or is he a pretty straight line kind of development is what he is at this point?
I think there's certainly a future for Thon. I don't know how exactly bright it is, but as you said, I mean, there's times when you see him do things, and you just go, oh, this guy could be really, really good someday. I don't think the Bucks necessarily as an organization thought, oh, he can't be good. I think the thinking was more like, I mean, if we can trade this guy and some picks we have, mostly just lying around, honestly, for a guy in Mirotic who basically is sort of like the best-case scenario of Thon. I mean, they're not exactly the same player, but you look at a stretchy 4 or 5 who can shoot and do all sorts of things offensively. I mean, I think Thon probably has a higher ceiling than what Mirotić is, but I don't know what the chances are of him getting there. His floor is certainly a lot shorter. So the Bucks as a team, you know, at the time around the deadline, still the best team in the NBA, still the best team in the East, saying we want to go in right now. It just made sense to trade him for a guy like Mirotić. I think it's good that he's on a team where maybe he can play a little bit more, maybe have a little patience with him, a fresh start for him. After some trade rumors, it seems like he pretty much started, you know, came out in Milwaukee a little bit before he got dealt. So, in short, you know, I think there is some potential there. I just don't think the Bucks were a team that has the bandwidth right now to give a guy like that a lot of run, or really any run.
And when you look at the season series between the Bucks and the Pistons, the Milwaukee Bucks won all four games. I was at one of the matchups in Detroit, and Milwaukee absolutely dominated them. It wasn't even a great performance by Giannis. It was DJ Wilson who had a big game. There was a couple other guys that stepped up for them. Sterling Brown played really well. Just a couple of those guys on the back end of the bench that you wouldn't really expect to do as much harm as they did, but they did do it. And when you look at the season series between the two teams, why did the Bucks have so much success against Detroit?
It seems to me like the Pistons really just have a hard time guarding Milwaukee. Giannis, like you said, I mean, 20-point average in the four games against the Pistons is not great for him, but he shot 58% from the field. But you look at, you know, all the way down the roster, I mean, Bledsoe shot 50, 40, 80 against the Pistons this year, scored 20 points per game. Chris Middleton scored just a hair under 20. He shot 51% from the field, 38% from three. Malcolm Brogdon, 64% from the field, 50% from three. It goes on like that. I mean, every Bucks rotation player seemed to really eat against that Pistons defense. And I think part of the reason for that is Detroit is tiny. You look at, you know, Glenn Robb, three, starting at forward a lot. You know, Luke Kennard plays there sometimes, it looks like. Langston Galloway gets minutes at, I think, the two. I haven't watched a ton of Pistons outside of the Bucks games, but they just have a lot of small guys in the rotation. And, I mean, guys like Chris Middleton, obviously Giannis, but even Chris, if he gets matched up on a smaller guy, for him, that's always been an easy bucket. And he almost looks at that with contempt when he ends up with a smaller wing on him. Like, really? You think this guy can guard me? So I think that's a lot of the reason. And, you know, the Bucks pride themselves on defense, but it's a lot easier to win if you're just unstoppable in the offensive end, like Milwaukee has been against Detroit this season.
And with Detroit, the question has been who's going, at least on Pistons Twitter, the question has been who should guard Giannis? And you mentioned the stats. I was going to bring them up myself, but the Pistons have done a relatively good job containing Giannis. There was a couple games where he scored only 15 points against Detroit. He had a 32-point outburst, and then he had a 21-12 double-double against the Pistons. So you really only have four games. It's not such a large sample size to really work with. Those two 15-point performances certainly dragged the numbers down, even though he was still good against the Pistons. But the question has been, who should guard him? And you talked about the lack of size on the wings for Detroit, and Glenn Robinson III hasn't even been in the rotation lately for Detroit, which, as their biggest wing, is definitely an issue, but they've been using 6'5 guys and 6'5 guys only in Bruce Brown, Wayne Ellington, and Luke Kennard on the wing. So I'll tell you what the answer right now is on Pistons Twitter, and the answer is Andre Drummond. That's who they think should guard Giannis. First off, is that what you would think would be the best way to try to slow down Giannis? And if not, who would be another guy or two that you would try to throw at him just to mix it up?
I don't think you almost have to go with him or Thon. I mean, like Blake, Blake's health, obviously, from what I've seen right now, is kind of a question mark in general. But on a bad knee, asking a guy who's already not the quickest laterally to guard Giannis seems like a recipe for disaster. Drummond, at least, is long, and, you know, he's got pretty decent hands. I mean, I know he's a guy who gets a lot of steals. He's a capable defender one-on-one. Thon, again, is long enough, but the problem with those two guys is you have to be so strong. I mean, Ben Simmons, who's quite the perimeter defender, just gets absolutely bullied every time he tries to guard Giannis. So I know Giannis has been quoted in saying that that stuff don't work when you try to guard him with a center. But I think Detroit absolutely has no choice than to try using some of those bigger guys, because, I mean, if you put a 6'5 guy on Giannis, he's going to just take you downtown and dunk every single time. And if you help, he's going to find one of these shooters who have all hitting like 40, 50% from deep against Detroit, and that doesn't even seem that much better.
if there's one player that the Pistons fan should be aware of that maybe they aren't aware of before this series starts, who should it be that's on the Milwaukee Bucks roster?
I think you're going to see a good amount of Sterling Brown and you're going to see a good amount of Brook Lopez. Just guys that are completely unafraid to shoot from deep or playmake. That's the thing that both of those guys do well, is if you really sell out hard to try and stop them from nailing the three, both of those guys will take you to the rack and just dunk all over you. And I especially like Sterling has gotten some really easy points on fast breaks because he'll just keep dribbling and everyone kind of fans out. You know, two guys go to Giannis, like, oh no, Giannis. One guy will go to Chris, like, we can't let him get this three. And Sterling literally just dribbles into dunks because everyone fans out to cover someone seen as more of a threat. So, and he's probably going to start in this series considering it sounds like Tony Snell and Nikola Mirotic and Eric Bledsoe will all miss part or all of it, depending on how long it goes. So I would look at those two guys, and Lopez will just rain threes on you from everywhere and really help stretch out the defense. And if you have to use your big guys on Giannis, all of a sudden Lopez is a nice matchup himself. So I say those two you can look at, but obviously Giannis will be the center point.
Yeah, Pistons fans are very much aware of Brook Lopez. He has dominated Andre Drummond in previous matchups throughout really their entire career. Lopez has been a huge issue for Drummond, so maybe putting Drummond on Giannis can kind of subdue that, but definitely worried about Lopez, who has become a remarkable shooter this year. But let's go to prediction time, because that's, I think, what everyone wants to know, even though I think everyone's pretty much on the same page that the Bucks are going to win this series. Do you think Detroit has enough to steal a game or two, considering Milwaukee's injury woes?
I'm going to be honest, I've got it as a sweep right now. The injury woes are tough, but you look at, I mean, Brogdon only played in two of the Pistons games. I don't think Mirotic played in any of them. So Milwaukee's been able to handle this team even without those guys. Middleton only played in three of those games. So I just think, I mean, we kind of touched on it already, but there's no good way for them to handle Giannis and without, you know, leaving someone else in a very good position. He's averaging 7 assists against the Pistons, which is more than his usual. So I think maybe they take one game, but if my prediction that I made earlier today, and I'm going to stick with it, is probably Bucks in 4 here.
Yeah, I think if Blake Griffin's healthy, Detroit may sneak one away, but if Blake can't go or is playing at, you know, 50%, which is the serious concern right now, I think it's a clean sweep. And it really isn't much Detroit's going to be able to do about that. But Ty, thank you so much for joining me on here on the Palace of Pistons podcast. Again, short notice, so I do want to thank you.
Hey, no problem. Thank you again for having me. I had a good time.
And please plug yourself. Where can people find you? Where can people find your work? Give us it all.
Two big easy places are my Twitter at Ty Windisch, TiWindisch. I put everything there that I do. And then the Eurostep podcast you mentioned coming in, I do with my guy Kane Pittman. That's everywhere you can find podcasts, and that's GYRO, sort of a Giannis bit there. So check that out too.
All right, well, Ty, thanks so much for joining us again.
Yep, thank you.
And thanks again to Ty Windisch for joining me. But now back with the big three of the POP podcast, the main crew. Well, guys, I mean,
the follow-up tweet crew.
The follow-up tweet crew, absolutely.
You know what? You know, I'll take your hate. I'm going to say it. It's good to be here anyway. The Pistons are playing playoff basketball. We get to have a playoff edition podcast. Let's get into it.
Well, I won't lie. It is nice that we're having a playoff edition podcast, because you look at the way that things were going down the stretch, and I think the worst case, and it doesn't matter really where you stand on the Pistons, the worst case scenario would have been missing the playoffs, because there's no point, there's no positive, there's nothing that comes out of just finishing as the ninth seed, knowing that Blake Griffin got hurt, and knowing the way that you could have been there, and you could have been a sixth seed, and all of a sudden you drop all the way to the nine and miss the playoffs. There's like nothing good that comes out of that. So this is awesome, even though we did backdoor in to get in the playoffs, to have an opportunity to continue playing, to have the opportunity to do the podcast talking about it. Everybody knows we didn't want the Bucks. Everybody knows that that's not the best matchup for Detroit. But the fact of reality is, that's who we got, that's who we're playing, and honestly, you just need to find a way to take advantage of your home games in this series. I think if you do that, you're going to have a real good opportunity to compete you know, maybe steal a game in Milwaukee and have a chance.
Well, I mean, let's first talk about Blake Griffin, because I think that's the dark cloud shrouding over the Pistons in the playoffs right now, because Blake missed the last game of the regular season, was obviously injured the last week or two of the season. He came back against OKC, had a big performance, really went 200%, and then we saw the downfall of his knee there after that. But there's really no indication on if he's going to play or not. Dwayne Casey said after the final game of the regular season that it would just come down to if he was, you know, feeling up to it. It was kind of like game time decision, pretty much. So we don't really know about Blake Griffin's status. He practiced today, did some light work after practice. We didn't get full on details of how much he did in practice, but I think he'll end up playing. I just don't think Blake will sit unless he literally can't move. But how worried are we about Blake's injury and how that's going to affect them in this series?
No, Blake's absolutely going to play. He's not going to sit out. Dwayne Casey was saying how he really can't injure the knee any more than it already has been, I guess. So I don't think it's going to keep him out. But you're right when you're talking about how much can he play, how much can he produce, how much can he provide. And that worries me. Seeing that game against Memphis, he couldn't move laterally at all.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, rest is great, but this doesn't really seem like an injury that rest is going to really help it. Maybe initially out of the gate in the first game for a little bit, he has some burst, has some movement. But the more he wears on that knee, how long is it going to hold up for? And honestly, going up against the Bucks, the best overall record team in the NBA, mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes, for sure. Correct. Yeah. Yes.
How we need him. We need Blake Griffin in this series. And the fact that we're not going to have a fully healthy Blake Griffin hurts my heart. It's upsetting. It's like I said, it's great the Pistons are in the playoffs. It's great to see the city getting fired up about it, the state fired up about it. I'm fired up about it. I'm glad we're able to do this Pistons playoff podcast. But at the end of the day, with a less than 100% Blake Griffin, how far can this team go? And the answer is I'm just not too sure.
I have a take on the whole thing. The reality of the situation, with the healthy Blake or not, the likelihood of the Pistons winning this series is slim to none.
Agreed.
The likelihood of them winning a playoff game is already slim. Versus Toronto or Philly, they could have possibly extended either of those series to 5 or 6 games. Milwaukee, I don't know if anybody... I mean, we saw the reaction to the Twitter poll. People wanted zero as an option in how many games they thought they could win in this series.
And it's not a knock against the Pistons. No. I don't think Charlotte, Miami, I don't think either one of them are putting a game up against...
And I don't know if Brooklyn does either.
I don't even think Brooklyn's putting a game up against
Milwaukee. And they're playing Milwaukee. Great basketball.
And they're playing young, explosive, good basketball right now.
But here's my take. All I care to see in this playoff series with no expectation of winning is I need to see Andre Drummond perform. I need to see Andre perform in the playoffs. He's had a nice second half of the season. He's, you know, built up some confidence again from the guys in the locker room, the fans. People are fired up about Dre. We've given Dre credit.
Straight up carried this team into the playoffs in these last two games.
If Andre has a good series versus the Bucks, not a good game, a good series versus the Bucks, I'll feel okay. Number two, I need the young guys in Luke Kennard and Bruce Brown to make sure that they get a valuable experience in this first time through the playoffs. Because these are two guys that we expect to be in the mix in the rotation, whether it's starting or coming off the bench or whatever, for the long term here in Detroit. These two need to benefit from this playoff series. If those two things happen, to me, everything else is icing on the cake. If you win a game, that's thrilling. You sweep maybe at home, then a lot of people are losing money in Vegas. And it's a success. It's a success, bottom line. If you took two games in the series versus the Bucks, it's a success. But I need to see the young guys benefit from this series, and I need to see Andre have himself a good series in the playoffs for me to believe in anything that's going on forward. Because if Andre folds again and Andre disappears, then it's just raising the question of which Andre is he?
Sorry to interrupt, but when you say, does Andre fold again, where was the first?
Are that's you more of a just the general, like, Andre throughout his career has then shown those flashes. Does he retract? You know, does he maintain with what he's done through the second half of the season? It's more of a does he fold? We've given him credit. I've given him credit, right? He needs to maintain his level of play. If he's going to be recognized as one of the leaders on this team going forward, he's going to be recognized as still one of the core pieces in building around Blake and in a hopeful playoff to championship type of run down the road. We've got to see it. I'm not telling you he has to be Hall of Fame level good, but he's got to be at least good.
So if we're just going to go with a take here, and I was going to go with a different one, but I think I'm going to go with this one. My take would be this series will determine if Reggie Jackson has a future on this ball club. I think if Reggie Jackson plays well, the Pistons are going to, you know, continue to move along with him as the starting point guard of this franchise. I think if Jackson struggles, the team is going to start looking in other directions to try to make improvements there. Because we saw that Jackson kind of struggled down the stretch of the season. And the Pistons are good when Reggie Jackson is good. But he needs to be good more often. And he really fell off a cliff towards the end of the year. So how he plays in this series, I think is going to have a big impact on his future. Now, if he plays bad, does that mean I think he's dealt, you know, this offseason? Not necessarily, because I think his value will go down, and I just don't know if Detroit will get anything for him. But I also think they'll try to bring in some different guys that can take on some point guard responsibilities and you know, see what they can do in that respect. Now, the hope is that Jackson played well because, in retrospect, this was a successful season for him. After two injury-plagued seasons, he played all 82 games. He was one of seven players in the entire league to start all 82 games that he appeared in. And he played pretty well. He grew as a shooter. It took him some time to transition from a role of always handling the basketball to giving some of the ball handling responsibilities to Blake Griffin. But once he settled into that, once he got his first step back, once he got his legs back under him, he honestly played pretty well. But again, he did struggle towards the end of the season. So if Jackson's consistent in the playoffs and he's respectable against a tough opponent in Eric Bledsoe, then I think it's going to bode well for him and his future with this team and for the team in general, because they're a more competitive team when Jackson plays. But if he struggles, it could start to be the beginning of the end for his time in Detroit.
All right, so if we're doing takes, I guess my take will be a rebuttal to Brendan, and that is that Andre Drummond will have a great series. Andre Drummond's going to go ham in this one. He is going to play man ball. I am fully on board with Andre Drummond not retracting or losing consistency. I get Brook Lopez gives him problems, especially since Brook Lopez can stretch the three-point line now. So how do we find that balance of Andre Drummond protecting the three-point line, but also being around the basket as the best rebounder in the league? We need him. And a team that struggles rebounding, we need him close to the basket at the same time. But I think Dwayne Casey will be smart enough, and the staff will be smart enough, and the scouting team will be smart enough to figure out a way to break that down. Andre Drummond's going to be a man this postseason and in this series. I fully believe it. As far as the Young Bucks go, I think this moment won't be too big for Bruce Brown. I think Bruce Brown's just too mentally tough, too ready to go, and he's going to have a good defensive series. Offensively, he has his struggles right now, so we can't say anything for that. Luke Kennard, there'll be moments when he looks a little fresh and young. But at the same time, Luke's going to come in guns blazing. He's going to shoot the ball well. He's going to do well. I have full confidence in him right now. He's found his stroke.
One thing on the rebounding point you made, the Bucks cannot draw Andre Drummond out to the three-point line to defend Brook Lopez, or the Pistons can't allow that, because the Bucks are the best rebounding team in the NBA. They're number one in rebounds per game. Pistons are 19th. So Detroit's going to have a tough time on the glass, and if they take out Andre Drummond out of the paint, it's going to be an even tougher time. So, and I talked about this with Ty Windish when he came on we almost kind of both agreed that throwing Andre Drummond on Giannis could be an idea that Detroit runs with, because no one else on the roster really has the length to match up with them outside of Glenn Robinson III or even Thon Maker. But both those guys, they haven't had to defend a guy of that level, and Andre may have the best success at that. And that would also, with Giannis attacking the paint so often, that's his primary style of play, that would also keep Drummond in the paint somewhat.
That was another thing I wanted to bring up, is maybe you put Drummond on Giannis. Let Giannis beat you from the outside where he's not very strong. Don't let him just attack you on the inside where that's his game right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a fantastic player. One of the best players in the league. But his jump shot right now is not where it needs to be. Let him beat you doing that if he's going to beat you. Don't let him beat you going to the rim.
The only thing is, don't you think Dre will just pick up a couple quick fouls doing that, and then you'll have him on the bench, and if Blake's out, now you're down both Blake and Andre?
I mean, you got to take a risk in the playoffs. Yeah,
there's
got to
be some sort of risk taken.
I think
different
if
strategy.
You start, you know, one of, I mean, let's say Blake goes, you got to start Andre on him because you can't go with Wayne Ellington.
So to me, I think it's a very interesting idea. I think you save that for the return home, because you see how you do with your matchups in Milwaukee. You identify ways to maybe stop him, what they're trying to accomplish in this series. You come home and you say, okay, Andre, we're going to try this out. We're going to give this a look. I don't think you expose that in Milwaukee. I think you save that as your secret weapon coming home to Detroit. Because if it works with the crowd backing behind it, that could be enough to boost you to a playoff win.
My point of view is Detroit doesn't have the luxury to save anything as the 8
seed. I'm just not confident that that's going to work all too well. So why not?
We'll have to see.
I understand both sides of the argument here, saving it, not saving it. It's up to the Pistons at that point. But one final thing I wanted to say, and I'm going to represent for Glenn here. I think Glenn is going to find some time, and I think Glenn's going to have a good series for the Pistons.
Well, especially if Blake's out.
Especially if Blake can't go the full time.
Yeah.
He's going to find himself in that rotation because he is, like we said, one of the more – probably the most athletic guy on the team.
Yeah.
And you need that type of player to guard Giannis. And I think he has a good impact in this series for the Pistons.
So – going forward, the Pistons will play, what, twice before we podcast next? That's correct. Both
correct.
Games in Milwaukee. And, well, let's predict it, right? Money says Milwaukee will come to Detroit leading 2-0. Anybody not buying in on that? Does anybody have a different thought on that?
No.
No, I 2-0 will be the series for the Bucks coming back to
Detroit. I think we're all in agreement. We'll be able to talk more next week about where the Pistons kind of stand after the first two games, maybe things they could look to exploit here at home. But, you know, the bottom line is, it's a tall task. It's a tall task for the Pistons because you've seen the regular season games, and Milwaukee has owned Detroit. Owned them. They have not been close. But it's playoff basketball. Things change in the playoffs, and you just never know. And I'll tell you, one other last point here before we wrap up the pod. The Bucks have been pretty laissez-faire in terms of, I think, not prepping, but worrying about the Pistons. I don't think that they are concerned at all going into this series. And I think they're fairly confident in their scouting reports from this year, making some tweaks, sticking to the game plan, because it's worked quite effectively. There is the potential that opens up some loopholes for Detroit to exploit, maybe in even game one of the series.
Look, I couldn't say that I'm a fan of the Pistons if I don't give them one game in this series. I couldn't do it. They aren't going to win this series. They just won't. But I think they're going to steal a game. I think it'll be one of the home games, because that just, it's easier to win at home than it is on the road. I think they can win one, but It's gonna be a tough series, and it's probably gonna be pretty quick for Detroit.
No, it's gonna be a tough series. I don't know if I can honestly give them one.
I don't like them either.
I feel you on that, Aaron. I want to be able to be like, yeah, they're definitely taking one because we're taking steps in the right direction as a franchise. But I just don't know if this year is the year with all the things that are going on right now for the Pistons that's gonna happen. But I'll say this, man: Game 3 comes around. If you've got tickets to that game, you're going to that game, you got to be loud as hell. We got to support this team. We got to make the LCA crazy because they deserve it. All right? Sure, the season heads up and downs, but they're in. And we got to show our support, fellas.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So Detroit gets set to start off the Eastern Conference playoffs as the 8 seed versus the 1 seed Bucks. We'll podcast next week before the Pistons return home for games 3 and 4 here of the series. So we look forward to that. We're so glad everybody could join us here on the podcast today. Before you go, like, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. Give us a follow on Twitter at Palace of Pistons. Give Aaron a follow at AJohnsonNBA. Ryan a follow at Ryan Pay. Myself at Media Brendan. We're on Instagram at Palace Pistons. We're on Facebook, the Palace Pistons Facebook page. So you know the deal. Hype it up. Pistons in the playoffs. Hopefully Detroit could steal a game in Milwaukee, though none of us expect it. We'll see what happens when the Pistons get back to town after the first couple games of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Until then, we'll see you next time here on the Palace Pistons podcast.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.